Good morning, folks. Welcome to the House Education Finance Committee. We are here today to finalize our education, finance, and policy bill. Very excited to be here today. And our first order of business with our quorum that's present is to do minutes. Representative Jordan, have you had a chance to look at the minutes?
I have, Madam Chair. There's a star next to Representative Altendorf's name that I think will be removed as a typo, as special as I think Representative Altendorf is. I don't know that we can note that in our minutes. But apart from that, I do move their approval.
Thank you. Representative Jordan moves the minutes for March 29th. Any other further questions or comments? Representative Knudsen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Altendorf was gone yesterday, but I think she was excused. So
that's why there was time.
Yeah.
Thank you. We will correct the minutes to reflect that. Any other further questions? With that, we'll take a vote on the minutes. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, no. The minutes for March 29th are adopted. Members, I'm going to turn the gavel over to Vice Chair Clardy as we proceed.
Good morning, Chair Youakim. Would you like to move House File 2497 before the committee with the intention to re-refer it to the bill to the tax committee?
Vice Chair Clardy, yes, I would.
Would you like to move the DE1 amendment?
Vice Chair Clardy, yes, I would.
Okay, Chair Youakim, would you like to move the A8 amendment?
Thank you, Chair Clardy. I would like to make some quick comments first before we move into amendments.
Great. You can explain it.
Thank you. Well, actually, I just want to thank everybody. On Tuesday, I had opening comments and thank yous, but since we have a hard stop at 12:20 today for the floor session, I would like to make a few comments first. I would like, once again, to thank each and every one of you and each and every one of the Education Policy Committee members for the work product that we have here today. I would like to thank Vice Chair Clardy, Chair Pryor, Vice Chair Hill for spending so much quality time helping us put this bill together along with RCA, Holly Sirkvenek and researcher Mars Beltrami Runquist, and for our absolutely amazing nonpartisan staff who always works tirelessly on the behalf of the state of Minnesota. Tim Strom, Christina Parra, and Selvig Beckel are amazing. And I would like to thank Minority Lead Krisha for meeting almost every week to discuss the agendas, as well as researcher Jody Withers for working with our staff. We also have some other folks to quick thank. The folks that make this production available and transparent to all of Minnesota, our public information staff, Steve Abrams and Barry LeGrave, our pages who are super diligent on putting together an amazing, wonderful packet that we can all dig through, Stephen Walker and Tom Handley, our amazing CLA, Shamat Abraha, who this is her first time working for the Minnesota House, and I don't think any of us would guess that by the way she is so professional and gets things done. So thank you. So with that, Chair Clardy, I believe before we move on to amendments, Mr. Strom has some district runs to share with us.
Mr. Strom.
Madam Chair, members, there's a simple run in your packet to start with today, and there'll be updated versions early next week. This run puts two components of the bill, the two major components of the bill, the formula allowance increase of 4% in the first year and 2% in the second year, and the special education cross-subsidy funding on the printout. The way the printout is organized is in school district numeric order. And let me just briefly mention each of the columns. In order to fit the information on the page, most of the amounts are shown on a per pupil basis. So there's 18 sets of numeric columns, the two sets of nine. The first is for fiscal year 24, and the first of the nine columns shows the pupil units. or the pupils, rather. This is the unadjusted count of pupils, and you can see at the statewide total, there's 851,298 in the state. The next seven columns are amounts per pupil. So each amount is the total divided by that pupil count in order to fit on the printout. So you can see going across the top line, general education revenue on average was $11,012 per pupil. The House bill in front of you, 2497 with the DE1, raises that to 11,388, which is a $376 per pupil increase. The next three columns do the same for special education, and you can see a $449 increase on average for special education. And then the last two are the totals for these two programs, $825 on average is the increase, and $702 million is the aid entitlement increase. The same nine columns repeat then for the second fiscal year for fiscal year 25. One note to reiterate, the special education data is based on 2022 information pulled forward to the best of MDE's ability, but because that's a cost-based formula, what happens in this school year will affect the base numbers. So just a word of caution that districts' estimated special education revenue that's and the expenditures, which are the starting places for 24 and 25, are estimates, and the further they get away from the base year of 22, the less reliable they are as a point estimate. So, Madam Chair, members, in total then, you can see the amounts on the printout spend $702 million in the first of the 2 years and $938 million in the second.
Thank you, Mr. Strom. Chair Yukin?
Mr. Strom, too, could you just remind us as well, those numbers are averages. What's the base amount per average daily membership for pupil before all the 14 different categoricals we add on top of that?
Madam Chair, Representative Joaquin, the formula allowance starts at $6,863 per pupil unit, and this is actually displayed on the unweighted count of pupils because some of the formulas will be on that basis later on. So that's the starting place, and that basic formula allowance goes up 4% in the first year, and then another 2 percentage points in the second year.
Thank you, Mr. Strom.
Thanks, Mr. Strom. Chair Joaquin, do you want to proceed?
Yes, thank you, Vice Chair Clardy. I'd like to move the author's amendment, the A8. This amendment has technical clarifying and items that need to be matched up with the spreadsheet. I'll briefly walk through the amendment and have nonpartisan staff jump in if I missed anything or misspoke. So I will get to the right place in my notes so that I can do that. All right, so the AA before you, if you start at the beginning, that the top two lines are the equalizing factors so that we can have a zero levy target. And then the next section has the compensatory fix in it. As you remember, as universal meals went off the floor, we concurred with an amendment that came over from the Senate that was $6 million, and we that only got our schools up to about 2025. So we took some of the governor's language to look after that to stabilize the compensatory aid budget for our schools. The next few lines in 11.1.11 and 1.12 was the equalizing factors for the VBK program. Then we move on to some corrections, minor corrections for UI. Lines 1.17 to 1.21 are the general education aid numbers that we filled in the DE after nonpartisan staff scored the DE. 1.22 and 1.23 is something I should have caught and didn't. The EMS CTE bill from Representative Hewitt, we provide $500,000 in 24 and $500,000 in 25 to be able to spend through 2027. And there is also a line that says what the base is then moving forward, and it had $1 million in instead of the $500,000. On the top of the next page, we have the EL cross-subsidy aid that needed to have a fix, a technical fix again on UI. Starting on line 2.8 to 2.9 is an addition in the Holocaust and genocide education of definitions of communities. And then 2.11 to 2.14 was a clarifying correction for MDE on the online learning changes they made. 2.15 is in regards to ethnic studies. 2.16 to 2.17 is computer science. 2.19 to 2.26 is also ethnic studies, and it's just we didn't add any more money. We just moved how the money is being spent in the riders. 2.27 to 2.29 is the full service community schools adjustment. 3.1 to 3.12 deals with this special education pipeline that Representative Bennett that we pulled over from the governor's language to add to Representative Bennett's bill. And that clarifies, and I want to thank Representative Bennett for working with MDE on this. They suggested that we do a special revenue fund so that the money doesn't cancel back to the general fund if they aren't able to use it right away. 3.14 to 3.16 was a suggestion to make sure that to the extent practical, the grants are spread out for our support staff among the types of folks that they're hiring. 3.18 to 3.21 was the due process special education paperwork provision that Representative Edelson worked out to make sure that our charter schools, I'm just reading it real quick. I believe, no, due process aid for SPED. I think that's what the charter school formula is, and maybe we'll go to Mr. Strom for that if I'm mistaken here. Then we have 3.22 to 3.24 is also the adjustment for special education funding. 3.25 is a technical amendment around CTE. And then the remainder of the amendment talks about the mental health position at MDE. We had put an appropriation in but forgot to put the language in, which I think shows that our staff is sorely overworked, and I want to thank them once again. And then we have the adjustments then and the appropriation for the mental health FTE. And then finally, another technical move on the ethnic studies specialists. So that is basically the tail end of this amendment is MDE budget adjustments that they asked for. So with that, members, I'll take any questions or corrections from staff on the author's amendment.
Thank you, Chair Youkim. Any questions? Okay, seeing none, Chair Youkim renews her motion to move the A8 amendment. And those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. So we'll now look at Amendment DE1. So the other amendments to DE1, I'm sorry. And Representative Pryor, I understand that you have an A7 amendment.
Yes, Madam Chair, thank you.
Please go ahead and explain it.
This is just clarifying a new version of the language relating to the science standards. There's just controversy about ambiguity in the language, and this reflects work among the stakeholders to have just more clarity in how we're expressing this. Nothing has substantively changed, just to make sure that everybody's on the same page for what this means and what the requirement is, what we're requiring in statute.
Okay, are there any questions regarding the A7? Representative Grisha?
No issues with the amendment. I would request that we pass the amendment.
Chair Youkim.
Thank you. I see this as a friendly amendment and the very famous phrase we have around here, peace in the valley. For all those of you who have a bingo card in the audience.
So with that, Representative Pryor renews her motion for A7 amendment to be adopted. And all those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? So the motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Representative Edelson, I understand that you'd like to offer an A5 amendment.
Yes, Madam Chair, I would.
Please explain your amendment.
Madam Chair, the A5 members is an amendment to the READ Act. It is some clarifying language. Some language was suggested on line 1.17 through 1.19, some work that I was doing with Educators for Excellence. We also had some clarifying language on 1.17 through 1.10 that allows a parent to opt their child out of the screener. And we are making in this that progress monitoring would be a must, but there will be some changes in conference committee because of the personalized learning plan. But I ask members to support this.
With that, members, are there any questions? We have Representative Bennett. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thanks, Representative Edelson. Just some clarification for the opting out of the screeners, because I know, you know, as teaching first grade for so many years, that screener is hugely important to determine a child's weaknesses. We need to drill down and find out what skills they need. And to me, that would really cripple a teacher's ability to teach to those student needs. So is there something else that child would be given to determine their reading needs? Or I'm a little confused by that one, if you could clarify.
Representative Edelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So right now, Representative Bennett, this is under the dyslexia statute, which is a law that I have passed several years ago. And what this does is we allow currently for students to opt out and parents to opt out of this. What we're trying to do is put a little bit more parameters. There are going to be, in very, very rare circumstances, students that repeated screening maybe is not necessarily helpful for. So very, very limited circumstances. I'm trying to strengthen the language that we previously had in statute to make sure that we have, as you'll see, two literacy teachers and a parent. In consultation would, if that the parent decided that they did not want to continue to have their child screened into, you know, 11th, 10th grade, that they could, you know, opt out at a certain point.
Representative Bennett.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Thanks, Representative Edelson. So I just want to make sure I'm understanding. This is the dyslexia screener. It's not the progress monitoring to determine, like, phonemic awareness, phonics that a teacher would be giving multiple times during the year. This is a different screener then?
Representative Edelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Bennett, the screener is exactly the same for dyslexia screening as it is for progress monitoring. What I'm saying is, so in the statute, if you read, I also do clarify that progress monitoring and literacy intervention shall continue on 1.1 of the amendment. Your side of the aisle always talks about this, giving parental choice. There are very rare circumstances where a parent might say, I do not want to continue to have my child screened. And I want to make sure that we have some ability for parents to have some choice in this. And so that's what this does.
Representative Bennett.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Edelson. Just trying to understand it more, so appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Joaquin.
Thank you, Chair Clardy, and thank you, Representative Adelson, for all your hard work on this issue. And I know, Representative Bennett, this is close to your heart as well. So I just want to thank you, Representative Adelson, for all your work. And I know it was a marathon, and I think you're just about across the finish line. So, yes, I would accept this amendment, a friendly one.
Great. And with that, Representative Edelson renews her motion that the A5 amendment to be adopted. All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay, the motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Our next amendment is A1. Representative Edelson, I understand you'd like to offer A1 amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair, I would.
Okay. Will you please explain the amendment?
So the A1, yes, Madam Chair. The A1 amendment, members, this is the due process statute for due process, reimbursement of due process paperwork and time for special education teachers. What this does is it ensures that a handful of charter schools that do not collectively bargain in the state of Minnesota, and thank you, Chair Joaquim and staff for finding out, I think it's about four, would also be included and could benefit from the special education due process statute that we would be passing to make sure that we are reimbursing teachers for their really excellent work.
Are there any questions or comments? Representative Joaquin?
I accept this as a friendly amendment as well.
Okay. With that, Representative Edelson renews her motion that the A1 amendment be adopted. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? The motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. Representative Pryor, I understand that you would like to offer an A4 amendment.
Yes, Madam Chair, I would.
Would you please explain the amendment?
Well, so members, even yesterday, you remember hearing testimony about the seclusion rooms and what a concern that is right now and the policies associated with those. The Senate right now has some language about the seclusion rooms, but because of the timing and when we were able to hear, we were not able to address this issue originally. But we think that there's been some good work among stakeholders of a path forward where we are addressing the issue in our bill. But what we're doing is we are able to extend that prohibition against seclusion rooms from grade 3, but we're doing it by December 31st, 2024, to make sure that all these policies across the state can be in compliance with this. And then also we want to make sure that going forward that this is something that we are eliminating from our schools. But this would be done with stakeholders' involvement and just a deep dive in what this what this means to schools. And so you'll see the additional language about the Commissioner of Education working with stakeholders to form a policy. So that's what this amendment is, and we think it's a good step forward, and as we work through this process, I think it gives us a good place for continued conversations to make sure that we're getting it right.
Members, are there any questions? Representative Joachim.
Thank you, and I want to thank all the stakeholders for their work on this and the path forward that's in this amendment. I accept this as a friendly one.
So with that, Representative Pryor renews her motion for the A4 amendment to be adopted, and all those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? So the motion prevails and the amendment is adopted. So we're now finished with the amendments for the DE1. We'll now take up the DE1 as amended. This is not a final motion to move the bill out of the committee. So Chair Joachim, did you want to renew your motion for the DE1 amendment?
I motion for the DE1 as amended to be adopted to put the bill in the shape the author would like so that for our further discussion.
All those in favor say aye.
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 All those opposed? So the motion prevails and the amendments are adopted. So today we have one more amendment. Our next amendment is a DE3. Representative Prisha, I understand that you offered a DE3 amendment.
I do.
Would you please explain your amendment?
Thank you. And so members and Chair Joachim, the DE3 amendment I'm going to offer up, and then I'll put a couple of my closing comments in here now so we don't have to worry about at the end, just for efficiency. But so first of all, thank everyone. Thank the staff, Chair Joachim, and all the members. This has been a good process, and I'm glad we're here. The legislature, of course, is a place of a contest of ideas, differing perspectives, differing policy. We've heard lots of different testimony, but it's also a place of communication. So I very much respect the weekly meetings. I know attendance wasn't perfect as life came in and out, but that was very helpful to talk through getting to this place. I'd also like to note that anytime you have differing opinions and conflict, as we work through policy, that is important. Getting to a final product around here is about working through conflict, it's working through policies, and it's getting to what we can put forward as the best presentation from one body to the other. Been around long enough to know that the House will have a position, the Senate should have a position, the governor should have a position, and the three of those positions, even if they're in the same party, should have differing points of view. If there are different parties, there's still gonna be differences. That's just the way the place works, that's the way we are designed. I will say that I don't ever feel like this committee was ever in a position where either side was offering amendments that we thought, let's get the other side to take bad votes. They were legitimate ideas and policy to bring us forward, and they were differences, but they were never anything more than what we do in the normal course of our business. So with that, when I look at this amendment and what we're offering with the DE, why would we offer a DE, or why am I bringing this forward? In some of the testimony, what we heard was there's a lot in here, and I want to pay respect to this proposal gives the school boards and the administrators, teachers, and parents what they've been asking, and that is funding and flexibility. When you have this much of a surplus, yes, we should be putting a funding that's robust. Now, I will note that I think that it's important to say, and I'll just say this off the bat, if there's anything that I don't favor, it's a lot of the very hard special interest groups from any of them that come in. We as legislators are listening to the people that we have. We're listening to our communities, and I think that outside voices can become too loud and too amplified. For example, I think we've heard for a long time there was this number of fully funding education. I've heard $6 billion. It's just not possible. That was never a real number, and it was often used to put differences between good people trying to get to an education bill. And I think that we have an $18 billion surplus here, and we are showing what a robust education formula could look like in the wake of that. Our amendment honors that commitment to the funding. That's fair and focused with the historic 5 and 5. We've heard that from the schools, the administrators, the teachers, the parents, and the students. And we've heard that reducing the special education cross-subsidy by 50% with an ongoing commitment to fully fund this is important. So we've honored that. We put that in place here. We know parents and teachers are concerned about the safety of the schools. We are too. This amendment would double the amount of safe schools revenue, eliminate the local levy to make the state to make this a state responsibility, and recognize that our charter schools, which are also public schools, deserve the same level of support. When we look at this and why we paired it way back is I've heard from the testimony, I've gotten the emails, and I've talked to people, I'm sure you all have as well, which is saying, slow down, there's a lot here. Let us recover with the formula funding. Let us recover with some flexibility and then add some of these ideas, which some of them have very good merit back in. Some of them, quite frankly, tie the hands. And I just want to offer the perspective difference of what happens in the communities I represent. When we take and tie the hands with collective bargaining or the unemployment insurance, we create divisions in communities that are not that large. People that are sitting next to each other as a school board member and administrator during the week, but are sitting next to each other in church on the weekends. And they work through these. The unemployment insurance alone, the people in the communities that I represent know that these positions were of 9 months, and they knew what they were looking for, and they knew they had options in the summer, and the schools were working with them. They were all working for this for the very best outcome they could for the schools, the job, the community, and so forth. And I think this will tip the scale and take those conversations away in a lot of places. And I think that's harmful. I think that's harmful in a time when in our communities right now, and if you're not in the conversations that I'm having, we are struggling with divisiveness in an unprecedented way. We have outside groups pressuring our local people to get more divisive when we should be going the other way. And I think that when we put policies in place that tip the scale one way or the other or cause people to use rhetoric, I think that makes our jobs as representatives very, very difficult. And that's why we've paired that back in this amendment. So what you have here, and just in the interest of time, I'm not going to go through all of the information here, but we also make clear our commitment to the science of reading. And we do it in an unapologetic definition of the science of reading with a $250 million financial commitment. We, too, have been listening to the conversations. We, too, believe that the whole language approach and the special interest groups on the outside and the groups that have sold this to our schools have failed and have done so immensely. And that's what we're fighting. Never were fighting the bill author. Never were fighting the fact that the colleagues on the other side were trying to get to the same solution. But I am here to tell you unapologetically, I have been fighting the people who I believe are selling the goods down the river and have done it at the detriment of our kids. And that happens across the board. And that's just where I come from in many of the conversations I have. So when we say put a stake in the ground and call it the science of reading, we are not opening the doors for people to put vague terms in, vague curriculum, and to find other ways to do more damage to what we've already done to our kids. Thank you for taking the science of reading on. Thank you for taking and putting in the reading. But we want to put and be very clear that we've had enough of the outside groups. We've had enough of the commercialization of reading. We've had enough of holding our kids back. And that's what this amendment does. We have policy provisions in here from the minority report offered by Representative Mueller on the House floor. So I guess I'll just close this way. What we're trying to do is not take away from the bill that's in front of us, but to pare it back and say we've heard the conversations and maybe we take a more measured approach with a fair formula that funds our students and gets them the equal representation of the dollars. We start to find out areas that have not been working in the past. You'll notice in the bill that's in front of us, we're not taking anything out. We haven't gone back and looked and said what's not working, because there are improvements that could be done. And so I think just by adding more on, we're going to put a tremendous burden on our schools to catch up. And they're going to have a tremendous amount of things to figure out. Many of that may work out great. Many of it may not. And we've already heard that this will probably have a conference committee path. There's lots of room for those conversations. And so certainly no disrespect to the bill that's in front of us and the hard work that Chair Joachim and her members put forward. What we're offering with the DE is just simply our vision, our side, our policy, pared back, hearing what we heard in testimony, the conversations that were in our offices, the administrators, the teachers, and hearing how very much the teachers want to do this the best they can to have these kids catch up. And hopefully our side supports that as well. And so with that, as is custom, I would ask for a roll call on that. I don't think you're going to take it as a friendly, which is okay. If you did, I'd pull the roll call out. But I understand where we're at. So I'd request a roll call on the DE.
So there will be a roll call. Chair Joachim?
Thank you, Chair Clardy. Lead Krisha, I'd like to thank you again for your willingness to meet with me every week and to try to find some common ground. And in general, I think our committees have been run well and respectful on both sides of the aisle. You and I may disagree about what a DE means, but that's fine. We can have disagreements. I'd like to also thank members from our caucus that have authored and signed on to bills that have been included in the larger package of the DE1. I would also like to thank Representative Bennett and Representative Bakeberg on working with our members on improving a few of the bills that were included and for your passion for our schools as well. And I share your position in this bill on increasing the formula and tackling special education cross-subsidy. But this delete all proposal is woefully falls short. It does not include anything for teacher recruitment, retention, and respect. It does nothing to increase the diversity in our school's workforce. It has little to no investment in mental health supports for our children or money to increase our counselors, school psychologists, school nurses, or other support staff. And it falls short on funding for innovative solutions to close the opportunity gap, including money for after-school programs or to increase CTE pathways. Our budget surplus provides us with a historic opportunity to provide stability to our schools and to provide them with the tools that they need to meet our students where they're at. That is what we are doing in our proposal. That is what's going to leave this committee in a very balanced, responsible fashion. And I would like you to ask you for a no vote on the DE3.
Any other questions or comments? So hearing none, our clerk will take a roll call.
Chair Joachim?
No.
Vice Chair Clardy?
No.
Representative Krisha?
Aye.
Representative Anderson?
Aye.
Representative Bakeberg?
Aye.
Representative Bennett?
Aye.
Representative Edelson?
No.
Representative Greenman?
No.
Representative Hill?
No.
Representative Hudella?
Yes.
Representative Jordan.
No.
Representative Knutson.
Yes.
Representative Perez Vega.
No.
Representative Pryor.
No.
Representative Purcell.
No.
Representative Ream.
No.
Representative Sensenmura.
No.
Representative West.
Aye.
There are 7 ayes and 11 nays.
So the promotion, I'm sorry, the motion does not prevail. The amendment is not adopted. And we have a final motion. Do we have any questions or comments on House File 2497?
Thank you, Representative Clark. Chair Clardy, I want to make sure folks had ample time, since we have ample time right now, to talk about the product that's sitting in front of us. And look forward to hearing your comments. We did a lot of work in this committee. This is our last committee together, so please feel free.
Representative Edelson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I want to thank Representative Joachim and Lead Kresha and all the members of this committee. I think this is my 5th year here at the Capitol. I think we had a really good committee this year. The debate, I agree with Representative Kresha, is really important. This is what we're elected to do, is to have really good, robust discussion about the bills before us. And Representative Joachim, the bill before us is truly a great bill. I think it really will do a lot to help Minnesota kids. It will do a lot to help teachers and a lot to stabilize our educational system. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Representative Edelson. Representative Pryor.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Joachim. Thank you for the incredible amount of work that I know is behind this bill. And I know that there's probably nobody in the House that was more prepared to do it than you were. And we were lucky, you know, that you were there at this time to do it, because I don't think anybody else can understand things like, you know, this levies and tax implications and things like that. But having been on the property tax, plus all of your years of experience in education, and also your work as a paraprofessional right now, that brings a unique perspective to this that we have, you know, that we have not had before. And it's been sorely lacking. And I'm glad that we had it this time, as well as your other experiences. I also want to just make brief reference of how much I appreciated working with the policy committee that is some of the foundation of this bill also. And also want to say how much I'm looking forward to next year, because I think that there's a lot of things that we've gotten out of the way, and we'll have a reset after this bill is passed and passed into law and this education budget going forward. And then these discussions that we had in an abbreviated way, I think that we can really flesh out and talk about where our innovation will be going forward. Always coming back to, we're talking about the Minnesota of today and tomorrow and how we can prepare for that, because we have a different world coming. And this education committee has to be leaders in thinking about that and preparing for it, and has to have that vision, but it has to be a collective vision. So I really look forward to that. I think the most important thing that we're doing in this bill is that we are doing inflation going forward, so that we know there will be stability in education funding. And that is something that when we pass, we will have. And when, you know, we have downturns of the economy, we don't say like, oh, let's ignore what's happening in education. We'll say, no, this has been the cost to the schools, and our intent is to fund it. And that's where we start going forward. And that is a game changer, and that is historic. So thank you, Chair Joachim, for this bill. Thank you, committee members, for the work that we've done. I know that we'll have a good floor discussion, conference committee, and some great work next year, too, to build on this success.
Thank you, Representative Pryor. Representative Hill.
Thank you, Chair and members of the committee. I want to quickly just repeat an offer, or excuse me, a message of thanks. Thank you to the Chair for her dedication and the amount of hours that went into this bill. I think it's important here for me to note that our product is better because of the work done in total by this committee. And so thank you to our colleagues both across the aisle and colleagues here within the caucus. Because of our work, this bill is better and richer through the discussion we had. And in my opinion, it's led to a more highly refined bill. And as I look forward to the years ahead and what this means, where the rubber hits the road in our classrooms, in our workspaces, in our schools, in the service to young people, I'm excited. And so as we look forward, I am excited to support this bill, and I would like to ask for a roll call, please.
Okay, there will be a roll call. Any other questions? Any comments? Okay, hearing none, Chair Youakim.
Thank you. Everybody's so quiet this morning. Maybe we'll all just process and get our third floor speeches ready, right? With that, just some final comments. Just some final comments. Just once again, thank you for all your hard work. Every single one of you brought something to the table that was valuable and important and just so deserving, and I could not think of a better team to go into this historic moment together with. Working in and for our schools is really a labor of love for everyone involved. From our paras to our teachers and administrators to our counselors, social workers, school nurses, everyone, our school employees take care of all of our students' needs, from getting them to school, feeding them when they're there, providing medical and emotional support, as well as cleaning up after them after they go home. This entire bill is about investing in our future and our Minnesota learners. Each of our schools across the state are as unique as the children that they serve. It is our job as legislators to make sure that every one of our public schools are a healthy and safe learning environment for all of our kids. It's our job to make sure that our districts have the flexibility, stability, and the tools to meet our students where they're at. And Representative Pryor, you're right. Adding inflation onto the formula at the 3% cap is responsible, and it provides the stability that our schools need when they plan going forward. And you know, it's also our job to partner with our families and our communities to ensure that they have the tools to support their scholars, all of our scholars, the ones that are going to take care of us as we move forward so that they can reach their fullest potential. Members, I ask you for your support for this bill so that we can make an historic investment in our schools and finally move forward.
Thank you, Chair Youakim. With that, Chair Youakim renews her motion for House File 2497 as amended, and it to be re-referred to the Committee on Taxes and for the staff to be directed to make any grammatical or technical or conforming changes as necessary. And with that, the clerk will now take a roll.
Chair Youakim.
Aye.
Vice Chair Clardy.
Aye.
Representative Kreshaw.
No.
Representative Anderson.
No.
Representative Bakeberg.
No.
Representative Bennett.
No.
Representative Edelson.
Aye.
Representative Greenman.
Aye.
Representative Hill.
Aye.
Representative Hudella.
No.
Representative Jordan.
Aye.
Representative Knudsen.
No.
Representative Perez Vega.
C.
Yes.
Representative Pryor.
Aye.
Representative Purcell.
Aye.
Representative Ream.
Aye.
Representative Sensormer.
Aye.
Representative West.
No.
There are 11 ayes and 7 nays.
So the motion prevails. House File 2497, as amended, is referred to the Committee on Taxes. And I'll hand the gavel back to Chair Youakim.
Well, you should say more things. 45 minutes of it.
worse than us. But this is my first time that I got to work with Tim Strom, and he's a fucking genius.
So, members, we're to the end of our long journey for this session with the Education Finance Committee. I don't really foresee any other meetings coming up, but I also wanted to give, since we have time, Lead Cresha, did you have anything you wanted to add before I adjourn?
No, Madam Chair. I just, again, thank you to everyone. Holly, just a shout out to you. You're a very kind person. It makes it hard for me to get really gritty when there's a nice person sitting over there. Your staff has been great to work with, and Mr. Strom, and to all the nonpartisan, I hope you get some sleep, and I apologize for the very, very immense amount of things that were sent your way. And you've always, you all have handled it great, so thank you. And again, Chair Joachim, thank you for the conversation.
Thank you, and we are just blessed by all the amazing staff that we have around us that are so extremely professional. So thank you, members, and we look forward to bringing this bill through taxes, ways and means, onto the floor, and into conference. And with that, members, we are adjourned.